12. Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot, the 12th apostle, was chosen by Nathanael. He was born in Kerioth, a small town in southern Judea. When he was a lad, his parents moved to Jericho, where he lived and had been employed in his father's various business enterprises, until he became interested in the preaching and work of John the Baptist. Judas's parents were Sadducees, and when their son joined John's disciples, they disowned him. When Nathanael met Judas at Tarichaea, he was seeking employment with a fish-drying enterprise at the lower end of the Sea of Galilee. He was 30 years of age and unmarried when he joined the apostles. He was probably the best educated man among the 12, and the only Judean in the Master's apostolic family. Judas had no outstanding trait of personal strength, though he had many outwardly appearing traits of culture and habits of training. He was a good thinker, but not always a truly honest thinker. Judas did not really understand himself. He was not really sincere in dealing with himself. Andrew appointed Judas treasurer of the 12, a position which he was eminently fitted to hold, and up to the time of the betrayal of his master, he discharged the responsibilities of his office honestly, faithfully, and most efficiently. There was no special trait about Jesus which Judas admired above the generally attractive and exquisitely charming personality of the Master. Judas was never able to rise above his Judean prejudices against his Galilean associates. He would even criticize in his mind many things about Jesus. Him whom 11 of the apostles looked upon as the perfect man, as the one altogether lovely and the chiefest among 10,000, this self-satisfied Judean often dared to criticize in his own heart. He really entertained the notion that Jesus was timid and somewhat afraid to assert his own power and authority. Judas was a good businessman. It required tact, ability, and patience as well as painstaking devotion to manage the financial affairs of such an idealist as Jesus, to say nothing of wrestling with the helter-skelter business methods of some of the apostles. Judas really was a great executive, a far-seeing and able financier, and he was a stickler for organization. None of the 12 ever criticized Judas. As far as they could see, Judas Iscariot was a matchless treasurer, a learned man, a loyal, though sometimes critical, apostle, and in every sense of the word, a great success. The apostles loved Judas. He was really one of them. He must have believed in Jesus, but we doubt whether he really loved the Master with a whole heart. The case of Judas illustrates the truthfulness of that saying, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death." It is altogether possible to fall victim to the peaceful deception of pleasant adjustment to the paths of sin and death. Be assured that Judas was always financially loyal to his master and his fellow apostles. Money could never have been the motive for his betrayal of the master. Judas was an only son of unwise parents. When very young, he was pampered and petted. He was a spoiled child. As he grew up, he had exaggerated ideas about his self-importance. He was a poor loser. He had loose and distorted ideas about fairness. He was given to the indulgence of hate and suspicion. He was an expert at misinterpretation of the words and acts of his friends. All through his life, Judas had cultivated the habit of getting even with those whom he'd fancied had mistreated him. His sense of values and loyalties was defective. To Jesus, Judas was a faith adventure. From the beginning, the Master fully understood the weakness of this apostle and well knew the dangers of admitting him to fellowship. But it is the nature of the sons of God to give every created being a full and equal chance for salvation and survival. Jesus wanted not only the mortals of this world, but the onlookers of innumerable other worlds to know that, when doubts exist as to the sincerity and wholeheartedness of a creature's devotion to the kingdom, it is the invariable practice of the judges of men fully to receive the doubtful candidate. The door of eternal life is wide open to all. Whosoever will may come. There are no restrictions or qualifications save the faith of the one who comes. This is just the reason why Jesus permitted Judas to go on to the very end, always doing everything possible to transform and save this weak and confused apostle. But when light is not honestly received and lived up to, it tends to become darkness within the soul. Judas grew intellectually regarding Jesus' teachings about the kingdom, but he did not make progress in the acquirement of spiritual character, as did the other apostles. He failed to make satisfactory personal progress in spiritual experience. Judas became increasingly a brooder over personal disappointment, and finally he became a victim of resentment. His feelings had been many times hurt, and he grew abnormally suspicious of his best friends, even of the Master. Presently he became obsessed with the idea of getting even, anything to avenge himself, yes, even betrayal of his associates and his Master. But these wicked and dangerous ideas did not take definite shape until the day when a grateful woman broke an expensive box of incense at Jesus' feet. This seemed wasteful to Judas, and when his public protest was so sweepingly disallowed by Jesus right there in the hearing of all, it was too much. That event determined the mobilization of all the accumulated hate, hurt, malice, prejudice, jealousy, and revenge of a lifetime, and he made up his mind to get even with he knew not whom. But he crystallized all the evil of his nature upon the one innocent person in all the sordid drama of his unfortunate life, just because Jesus happened to be the chief actor in the episode which marked his passing from the progressive kingdom of light into that self-chosen domain of darkness. The Master many times, both privately and publicly, had warned Judas that he was slipping. But divine warnings are usually useless in dealing with embittered human nature. Jesus did everything possible, consistent with man's moral freedom, to prevent Judas's choosing to go the wrong way. The great test finally came. The son of resentment failed. He yielded to the sour and sordid dictates of a proud and vengeful mind of exaggerated self-importance, and swiftly plunged on down into confusion, despair, and depravity. Judas then entered into the base and shameful intrigue to betray his lord and master, and quickly carried the nefarious scheme into effect. During the outworking of his anger-conceived plans of traitorous betrayal, he experienced moments of regret and shame, and in these lucid intervals he faint-heartedly conceived, as a defense in his own mind, the idea that Jesus might possibly exert his power and deliver himself at the last moment. When the sordid and sinful business was all over, this renegade mortal, who thought lightly of selling his friend for 30 pieces of silver to satisfy his long-nursed craving for revenge, rushed out and committed the final act in the drama of fleeing from the realities of mortal existence. Suicide. The 11 apostles were horrified, stunned. Jesus regarded the betrayer only with pity. The worlds have found it difficult to forgive Judas, and his name has become eschewed throughout a far-flung universe.